Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. As always, you're invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight is Aria.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And Nikki.
And we talked earlier about anxiety a bit. Anxiety, depression, those sorts of things, PTSD, and I gotta be honest with you. The American education system, it tends to cause anxiety, depression, and I don't know about PTSD, but maybe. It causes all of these things itself because it sucks. There was no part of, for those who are new to the show, we're probably above average intelligence here on Free Talk Live. I suspect that's a fair assessment.
Seems that way, yeah.
And
I can prove that one.
I don't know about.
Oh, no, on myself.
Okay.
I took a test.
Awesome.
I'm somewhere above 130, which, honestly, once you get to 130, like, what's the point?
Right. So I suspect we're above average, at least, and we know the public school system sucks, and everyone seems to know that. I've never met anyone who's like, man, the public education system
sure
is great.
Even teachers complain about it.
Right. And, I mean, they're welfare whores, and they hate
that. No, they don't know that part, though.
Well, some of them. Well, okay, fair point.
I think most of them probably don't.
But it's an
absolutely... They tend not to think of themselves that way.
It's an absolutely horrific experience, and it...
Truly.
It's designed for the dumbest segments of the population, right? It's... No matter how dumb... How can I put this? You have to forgive me. I was educated in the public school system, so I'm struggling to figure out how to put it. But if you're too... It's designed for the really dumb people. So if you're not one of those really dumb people...
Lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
Sort of a focus.
Right, obviously. But if you're not that dumb person, you're going to immediately eclipse the criteria that you're learning in school. And they're going to hammer it... Year after year after year, it continues to boggle my mind that we learned multiplication in the second grade, and we continued learning it in the third grade, in the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and the eighth, and it wasn't until my ninth grade year that we actually learned a new element of mathematics, which was geometry. Other than that, it was just algebra and easier versions of algebra with addition and subtraction and all
that.
Well,
you shouldn't have been so smart.
Right, but 8 years, obviously. 8 years of learning the same thing.
Well, they still can't do it, so clearly that wasn't enough.
And the same with English and grammar. 8 years of learning to use commas before. And and you still have adults who can't use commas. The American education system is a complete joke.
Well, the public education system throughout the world is a complete joke.
Absolutely. So maybe you're out there trying to find a different solution. The Socratic Experience may be able to help. Check it out at SocraticExperience.com/FTL. That's our link to download the parent guide. That's SocraticExperience.com/FTL. It will get you 20% off your first year's tuition. This is for people who are frustrated with the public school system. They know it doesn't work, and they're seeking an alternative to raise their kids, to educate their children in a way that isn't going to cause anxiety and depression and stupidity and a waste of time. Because that's what public school system ultimately is, a complete waste of time. I ended up dropping out.
It's worse than that. Like, a waste of time, you are where you were minus the time. Public education, you are so much further back, and you have so much garbage in your head that simply is not true.
No, I literally have trauma from public school.
I don't doubt it at all.
It's prison. Yes. Well, it's prison for children.
And this is why when I called in, I was like, no, just because, if I have a kid and they're like, hey, I want to go to public school, we'll discuss it. But I'm not just going to acquiesce to that because, it is dangerous. It is dangerous to your mind. It is dangerous to your system of values. It's dangerous to your body. So, no.
No, I agree with that.
There doesn't appear to be very much about it that's actually good. That's certainly, you're right, Nikki, that they are prisons.
It frees up that second parent to not have to watch the kid.
Exactly.
The school that I went to had multiple buildings on the campus, and that was good, I would argue, because at least we got some fresh air going from one class to the other. But that campus was replaced, and the school that I went to didn't go to, but it relocated to a single building that is fenced all around it and has...
like a prison.
I'm not kidding. It has razor wire on top of the fence. And this is presumably to keep people out, right? To keep the clowns out.
Yeah, which way is it facing?
Right? But let's just bask in the reality that this public school is identical to a prison.
So I remember when I was 18 years old or so, one of my boyfriends went to jail, and I was going to visit him while he was in jail. And I was mortified when I stepped in to the Department of Corrections to visit him, and it had the same floors, the same ceilings, the same walls. It looked like at least the public schools I've been to in the state of Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Identical. It looked the same on the outside. It looked the same on the inside. It smelled the same.
Yeah,
it literally smelled the same.
They have the same people designing them. They have the same technologies both of them. Like they have we're experimenting with this technology to increase docility or to punish unruly prisoners / students. And they'll try the same technology in public schools.
Yeah, that's not
and
a coincidence.
I think the only difference between public schools and prisons is that prisons have narrower windows. Honestly, I think that was the only meaningful difference. But the schools are horrible places. The Socratic experience offers a way out. Socraticexperience.com/FTL if you want to learn more about it. Let's go to the phones. We have Alu Axelman on the line from Liberty Block, who lives here in New Hampshire. Alu, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. Thanks
hey,
for
what's
taking
up?
My call.
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
I want to respond to Ian, I think, last night, or a few nights ago, come behind because of the baby. I'm a little behind on podcasts, so I am catching up.
Yeah, congrats on the baby, by the way.
I'm going to catch up. Yeah, thank you.
This was the bullet thing, right? Was it?
Yes.
Always? Okay. I didn't connect those until, last night when I was like, wait, hold on. Okay. And yeah, I don't have the wherewithal to explain that, so that was between me and Nikki.
Yeah, Ian was like the first time in my life I heard him be almost pessimistic about the crypto use in New Hampshire, which I think, crypto use is not super totally ubiquitous in New Hampshire, and maybe it has decreased in years, but I got to correct him and say, at least in the Liberty community, so maybe I'm a bit biased, or I'm in a bit of an echo chamber or something, there's a lot of use of crypto, gold and silver. I can look at my records. I record everything, and my book sales around 10, 20, 25% has been in alternatives. When I sell books, I've sold 700 books total. Around 10, 20% comes in gold-backed silver or crypto. So it's a decent amount in alternatives. I paid for lots of things. Yesterday at the gym, I saw a guy setting up a table there selling beef jerky. I bought that for gold-backed. Turns out he already accepts them. I got a water heater replaced for my boiler, and I paid the guy in gold-backed today for that, like big purchases. It was a big one. So, a lot of people accept gold-backed in the community, so I have to correct them on that. But also...
I don't recall anything that Ian had said last night that could have come across as pessimistic.
I'm behind. This is like 4 nights ago, probably.
So I see what you're saying with within the community. Sure, within the Liberty community in New Hampshire, we do have a thriving little market of alternative currencies, specifically long-term focused currencies, but it ain't what it used to be. Like, you know, there are places that are, you know, in, there's a private club in Manchester that we used to have a whole bunch of, like, okay, here are the QR codes for the various cryptos that we accept. And that was just a thing. And that was normalized. Like, okay, well, if you want this soda, you can just pay in Dash or you can pay in Bitcoin Cash. And that's all gone. There were a bunch not know your customer Bitcoin vending machines that were also available, and all of that disappeared when the feds broke down the doors and windows of this very studio. As soon as that happened, it spooked so much of even our local community.
It wasn't
if you don't use it, you lose it, is what Ian was saying, which I agree, and it's a shame. Like, people really should. I got Murphy's and all the other stores that are very crypto friendly. They should go and get a beer there once in a while and pay in crypto just so the waitresses know how to do it, because they do it more than once.
That's why I don't go there anymore.
That was very much the issue. And when the German film, they weren't a film crew, the German crew was out here, that was one of the stories that I attempted to convey to them. What you look at now, when you go down Main Street in Keene, and when I historically have given the crypto tour here in Keene, when people come to visit, it's I take them around and I show them all the places that accept cryptocurrency, and now it's a hollow shell of what it was 3 years ago. And the story that I portrayed to the Germans when they were visiting is not, look, welcome to the crypto mecca and here are all of these places that that accept cryptocurrency. It was, you're coming after the crypto mecca has been sacked. That's the reality of what we're dealing with here. And
yeah, but I'm still probably over the next few years, because of inflation and so many other issues, crypto is picking up still, I think.
Well, maybe. But dude, I've lived it, and I've seen it here in Keene, and I don't know if it's going to be back or not, but it's down, and it's down for a reason. That's because your biggest advocates for it are legally not able to be out there pimping it to people.
Yeah. Well, and one of the big issues here is the whole know your customer practice. And the whole point of money, the purpose of money, is to not know who you're doing business with. The whole point was, look, I can only know a Dunbar's number of people, so I can keep track with those people of who's up on who owes what to whom. But outside of that, I can't pay people back, and I can't expect to get paid back. But with money, I don't have to know you.
Someone as smart as Picos Mountaineer, I'm sure, knows what crypto means, like what the root of the word actually means.
Yeah.
It means like
cryptographically secured currency.
Secret. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to talk about tonight, Ali?
Yeah, you mentioned Damar Hamlin. I did a video. It's on Odyssey. YouTube already kicked me off, especially they would for this. Sort of fascism vaccines. So I did a video on Damar Hamlin, and it does look like it actually was commercial recorded. I mean, we did learn about it in EMT school and medical school and stuff. It's pretty rare, but it could happen. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more in football. But it doesn't seem like it's vaccine related, but the other thousands of players who are fainting and or dying in, you know, NFL and soccer, those probably are from the vaccine, from myocarditis or something.
Well,
but
as I learned from a very wise meme, if they can assume that because you had COVID and died, you died from COVID, then we can assume that if you had the vaccine and died, that you died from the vaccine. That just seems fair.
You would think so.
Excellent point. But I actually mentioned in my video, no one seemed to mention like the one simplest thing where it could have been commotio cordis, which is pretty much when you get a big stimulus, either a shock or a big thump that can send 10, 20, 50 joules of energy into your heart. So it's like a small shock. If you get that at a certain point in the interval, which now everyone knows commotio cordis was trending on Twitter after this, pretty much if it hits you on the upstroke of the T wave right after the depolarization of the ventricles.
Well, yeah, but you pointed out this doesn't happen more often. Like, how many hits happen in games? An unbelievable number.
Well, I think what he's saying is it's very uncommon in that some of the other incidents could have been due to the vaccine, but in this incident it seems more likely.
Yeah, but so Nikki, are you familiar with long QT?
Yes. Not very much, but yes.
Every medication can prolong the QT segment.
Yeah, most of them, even like Zofran and stuff like that.
Yeah, Zofran does, pretty much everything does. But anyway, here's the thing. are why we worry about elongation of the QT segment, because that makes it more likely that you have.
Dude, none of this means anything to me as a layperson, man.
I'm not even a layperson, and it's going way over my head.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about what it... Yeah, I mean, thank you. Okay, thank you for the call tonight. This is going way over my head.
We're getting off into the weeds
here. Yeah, thank you for the call, Alu, but realistically, it's way more simple than that. And I'm sure your video, people can find you at, I'm sure it's at Liberty Block. That's how people can find you on Odyssey. I'm sure your video goes in wonderful detail about it, but it's really quite simple. Here's a professional athlete in the sport where they smash into each other, and he had a heart problem when they smashed into each other.
The job is smashing into people.
Like, it's... The NFL has this big thing now about people getting concussed. We're like, yeah, they smash into each other day after day after day. Of course, eventually someone's going to get a concussion, brain damage sort of thing, right? Of course, someone eventually is going to have some sort of heart attack while this is happening. It's not surprising to me at all in the sport where people, big, burly dudes, smash into each other at full speed. Eventually, someone's going to get hurt.
And I think I've witnessed firsthand a lot of vaccine side effects. But I think people saying every single person that is healthy and then has something happen, they're like, it's the vaccine. It's not always the vaccine. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And I think people are just making a lot of assumptions all the time that aren't necessarily valid.
So two things on that. Number one, as far as like, was it the vaccine? Was it not the vaccine? Now, the fact is there are so many things that it could be that it probably was something other than the vaccine. However, of the possible causes, that is the highest single probability of one singular, at least primary cause.
I mean, I wouldn't know because I don't have his records and I don't know his history and stuff. So, like, that's a thing where we don't know these people. We don't know their medical history and we're just making assumptions. It kind of, you know, we need more information to even be able to make an accurate assumption.
Well, and that's one of the
issues.
You know,
we can theorize, but
that we are never going to have accurate information on what the danger of this medical treatment is.
No, and libertarians have a huge blind spot in this area more than any others, right? Like, I know almost everyone I know is vaccinated. Everyone outside of Free Talk Live here is vaccinated. Almost everyone you see in the supermarkets or at your other job they've at least gotten one of these shots, right? How many people do we know who drops dead of myocarditis or whatever, or some random heart attack, right?
Not including work, none.
Yeah, almost none. So, but libertarians, they point to this one example. Like, oh, look, the vaccine's killing people. It's like, okay, maybe. It seems to be killing people about as effectively as COVID-19 killed people, though.
Yeah.
It's not very effective at all.
You know what
though. Like, COVID-19 was not killing athletes. It wasn't killing people that were already healthy.
Well, we don't know who it was killing or wasn't killing.
It was killing fat people.
So I'm sure plenty of athletes died of COVID-19.
We do know that the comorbidities was a huge question. Like, if comorbidities, then your risk assessment was totally different.
Diabetes, being fat, and, or whatever, bariatric, I'll use a nicer word. Or having heart problems,
right,
or other respiratory issues. Right. Those were the people that were dying of COVID. Vaccine, it seems more random, if it even is the vaccine. We're not really sure. It might be, but what I will say about the vaccine is, typically, I'm going to assume that I'm probably the only person at my job that is unvaccinated. Maybe there's a couple other people. But let me tell you, COVID goes around that place. Pretty much every single person that works on my unit was passing it. You know, they were taking turns getting it for like a 2-month period. I was one of the only ones that did not get it. Every single person that I work with every night, side by side, as close as we are right now, I was the one person that didn't get it. So clearly your vaccine doesn't work if I'm unvaccinated and I did not get COVID, and everyone that is vaccinated did.
I've seen that happen quite a lot. And I don't know if it's COVID or not, but, like, I see a lot of people getting colds and stuff. And I remember, guys, 2 years ago, if you had a cold, you were a leper. You weren't allowed to to work. Mm-hmm. And how dare you even try to come to work? You monster. You're evil. You're a manslaughterer. But now, it's probably just a cold. People are behaving now as they should have 2 years ago. And as libertarians were behaving 2 years ago, guys, it's just a cold. Will everyone please calm down? Some amount of apologies, I think, are necessary for the overreactions that we dealt with, but they're never going to come.
Right.
And, of course, libertarians, they do have this blind spot that we were talking about where they seem to think, they point to this athlete who dropped dead or who had this heart attack or whatever, died suddenly is a thing, right, that people are dying suddenly, but it's not happening in the streets. The way libertarians portray it, there are dead bodies. Libertarians are portraying people dropping dead in the streets in the same way that the hysterical people were portraying COVID 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, and I actually do want to correct myself, because when you asked if we knew anyone personally who has, you know, dropped dead of myocarditis or something similar, that didn't really make sense. I actually can think of like 3 or 4 people. One was a man in his 60s and totally, completely healthy and just got a heart attack, you know, and not completely impossible, but it's hard to not theorize like, well, you know, he got back, you know, like this, it could have been the vaccine. You know, it's hard to not theorize that. And I remember even my sister asked me, she's like, am I crazy for like seeing this happen and, you know, just automatically assuming this? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be honest. That's what I'm automatically assuming. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, correlation is not causation, but...
Well, two of the things. So one thing is that nothing ever has just one cause.
Yeah, of course.
You have like a big cause, a proximal cause, but I mean, everything has a bunch of little causes. So if someone gets a heart attack, I'm sure there were a bunch of little things that contributed to every single heart attack, even if there was one big thing that really catalyzed the event. But, okay, so if we have this big potential catalyst, that is worth looking at.
Yeah.
And the other part of this is, so if someone in their 60s has a heart attack, that's really not that much of a surprise. I mean, it's still
kind of
a surprise.
But to just die, I mean, that's surprising.
Yeah. Whereas young, healthy athletes, I mean, when you have like, okay, well, in the last couple years, we've had 1,000 athletes die with an average age of 23 from the same kind of thing.
You start to wonder.
And it's taken decades to get 1,000 dead athletes before this. That's awful suspicious.
Yeah, and I will say, and I've said this on the show before, too, when I was working in the hospital, I would get people who got their first or their second dose 3-4 days before, and now, and they were perfectly healthy before, or maybe not, but whatever, and now they're coming in with strokes, heart attacks, blood clots, all sorts of random stuff, and I'm like, we have to wonder, they got their first or second dose days before, and now they're here. Like, you have to wonder. And it doesn't get reported into theirs because you have to wait that 2-week period until they're vaccinated. So that doesn't even get reported.
There's a lot that we're never going to know about this, and I think it's tragic. I don't want to take the risk in any direction, and I see no point in taking the risk in any direction. The athlete thing, that's certainly weird, but I don't find it too unbelievable that a professional football player got smashed into and it gave him a heart problem. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Three people, including two children, injured after they were shot in Washington, D.C. Wednesday.
The young children appears that one child is 9 and another child is 6 years of age. They're just coming home from school. But it appears that they were coming home from school.
Authorities say an altercation involving several people on a Metro bus spilled out onto the street. One of the people fired shots, hitting two children and an adult male. Their injuries appear to be non-life-threatening. Many Californians may now be faced with checking their insurance policies following this recent bout with heavy storms. NBC Los Angeles listed a number of situations on what could be covered or not covered depending on a plan. The Insurance Information Institute says a standard plan for your home or condo does not cover damage from a flood. Folks need a separate policy for that. Mudslides and similar events also not found on plans. Meantime, if a tree fell on your home, insurance will cover that damage. However, if it lands in your yard and your home is not hit, be prepared to open your wallet for removal.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live 603-283-6160. There's still time if you want to get on the air with us at 603-283-6160. You're more than welcome to do that. You can weigh in, talk about the vaccines and libertarian blind spots. Drag shows is always a popular divisive topic, and it is unnecessarily divisive. Bonnie's having a discussion, evidently, on Twitter with the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, which has chosen the silly, misguided path of alienating drag queens and just the LGBTQ population in general. I haven't seen any of this, so I'm just going off of what Bonnie has said, but I trust Bonnie's judgment on these things, and there is a strong conservative leaning among libertarians, and it's such a peculiar thing, right?
Well, they're conservatarians. They're not libertarians.
Well, hold on. So one of the things that I think is happening right now is just that we are at the peak of conservative libertarians. So 20 years ago, like, you know, George W. Bush is in the White House, 9/11 has just happened, and okay, well, we're going to war with half the planet, and here's all of these things, and we get to feel up your balls if you want to travel to another state, and all of that. Okay, that was the, like, very bottom of conservative libertarianism. Like, in the conservative side of things, there was no powerful libertarianism, even though we had, like, a strong voice in Ron Paul that converted a lot of people, but the conservatism itself was very authoritarian. And at
well,
that
it still
point,
is.
Well,
and that's the reason this issue is even happening with the conservatarians in the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. They're characterizing drag shows as child abuse. And yeah. I don't know if they realize this or not, but this is the same issue I have with people characterizing transgenderism or transsexualism as being mentally ill. It's like these words have implications. The implications of child abuse is that someone has to intervene to put a stop to the abuse.
And like I said, you know, I experienced these things as a child, and that wasn't the child abuse I went through. You know, that's not on the list.
Right. So, have you ever been to a burlesque show?
Yes.
Okay. So,
well, sort of.
Sort of?
I'm aware of that. I've never physically been to one, but I know people who have done them.
Okay.
And
she got a private
show. Those performances,
so,
but not in person.
Could you see where someone would say that that was an abusive thing to bring a child to?
No.
You don't, like,
I don't
I'm not
so.
Saying you agree with it. I'm saying, can you see why someone would believe that that was so sexual that to bring a child there is to incline their mind in that direction and therefore abusive?
No.
I would say no. You know, I watched rated R movies when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I watched horror movies when I was a little kid. That was not child abuse.
No.
And like we've mentioned, you know, on this show many times, there's a spectrum. All 5-year-olds aren't created equal. All 18-year-olds aren't created equal. All 14-year-olds aren't created equal. They are individuals. They're human beings that are all different. And their maturity level is going to be different.
I mean, in the Middle Ages, there weren't really bedrooms in the average person's house. There was just the common space, and you would literally lay there in the floor while your parents had sex right next to you. And
yeah. Read Greek mythology, man.
Yeah,
like
it would be child abuse to have sex with the child, certainly, and to, like, make it a display for the child to have to watch or something like that.
It would be child abuse to have sex in front of a child. Now,
and
you might not agree with me on that.
People for thousands of years did exactly that, and it didn't seem
yes,
to bother people,
thousands
one way
of
or
years
the other.
Abused children.
I don't think that's child abuse.
I'm whether or not that's child abuse, people for thousands of years have abused children. That's
yeah.
a truth. That's a fact.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that what they were doing then constitutes child abuse. People for thousands of years did X doesn't mean that people for thousands of years did Y.
So you don't even see how it would be child abuse to sit your kid in front of some porn?
No.
No. Not at all.
If my child wants to sit there and watch, now it would be wrong. I don't know if I would use the word abuse, but it would be wrong for me to be like, look, you're watching porn tonight and that's all there is to it. Just like I wouldn't be like, look, you're watching Doctor Who tonight and that's all there is to it. But if I have a 10-year-old child or a 5-year-old child and they're like, I want to watch some porn, I'm not going to be like, no, you can't do that.
I think some education has to be done.
It would be very different for me to be like, now sit down on the couch and watch your pornography, right? Like that.
Eat your broccoli.
Well, now here's the thing. If you're a parent, that pretty much is the circumstance. Whatever you put on the plate is what they're eating. What you give them to do is what they have to do.
Yeah, but I don't sit around watching pornography while I eat dinner, right?
Okay. I am very much on the side of let's not expose children to pornography. Let's, in fact, protect pre-sexual humans from, as much as possible, exposure to sexual activity because...
You're the one who spent the first hour arguing that humans are innately sexual.
So you're trying
to protect humans from their own nature?
No, there's a time for it. And that time is called puberty.
I'm not saying there is or isn't a time for it. I am, however, saying that I would not sit my children down and let them watch and order them to watch pornography.
I want to say children start exploring themselves and each other sexually at a very young age, typically. Like, that starts at, like, 2 years. I mean,
yeah, and
usually,
it can
like, 2 years
them
old.
Up for life.
I don't think playing doctor is going to screw kids up life. Playing doctors with their uncle in the basement with movie time
That's the thing. If it's a creepy adult being malicious, that's one thing. But if it's like 2 5-year-olds that are like, hey, what's that? You know, show me mine and I'll show you yours sort of thing. Like, that's what children do. And it doesn't, I mean, that's just like normal.
So I don't think sex is immoral. I don't think sex is immoral. And I don't think it's damaging.
Some sex is immoral.
I think some is, but that's rape.
Right. Rape is still sex and it's immoral.
I didn't say all sex. I said I don't think sex is immoral.
Some of it is.
I didn't say it wasn't. But sex in and of itself is not immoral.
Yeah, not all. Some, but not all. Yeah, definitely.
Right. But now, we're not talking about rape here. It goes without saying that rape is wrong, and none of us are advocating rape or raping kids.
I think
so. We can remove the conversation of rape entirely from the conversation that we're having.
I think sitting your kid in front of a porno is pretty close to rape, actually.
Did I say anything about putting my kid in front of a porno and saying, watch this? I explicitly said I would not do that.
Okay. So
However, if I was watching pornography for whatever reason, I wouldn't be like, oh, God, no, kids, you can't watch pornography. I wouldn't. It's not a family event, obviously, but if my kid was watching pornography, I wouldn't be like, no, you're not allowed to watch that.
Why is it obvious that that's not a family event?
Why do you watch pornography?
Why do I watch pornography?
Yes.
That's none of your business.
All right.
And you're assuming my out-of-work activities. Thank you very much.
No, you could have easily said I don't watch pornography.
To be titillated, to access that,
right,
that
you
reptoid,
don't,
right. that reptoid side
I
of
understand.
My brain.
And you don't do that with your children. And that's why I wouldn't watch pornography with my children.
Right. So one of the biggest
issues
that we're
dealing
with here.
The same reason I wouldn't have sex with them.
Okay.
Right?
So one of the issues that we're dealing with here is something called imprinting. So your early sexual experiences will have a permanent effect. It basically sets the foundation for your entire view of sexual reality from that point forward. So if you do it badly, you will have problems with your sexuality throughout your life.
It's possible.
It happens all the time.
I'm not saying it doesn't.
Early sexual experiences have a permanent effect that is extremely
Everything
difficult
has
to reverse.
A permanent effect on people.
No, it doesn't. Whether I picked my nose 5 minutes ago has no permanent effect on me.
Whether you were scolded for picking your nose when you were 5 years old absolutely does have a permanent effect
and
on you.
And I think a lot of early childhood things do have permanent effects on us, whether we remember them or not.
Mm.
And I do agree that early sexual experiences, like, definitely will kind of, I mean, I don't say they definitely will, but I've seen in many circumstances where that will kind of reflect onto sexual experiences and thoughts and feelings in the future. But I just don't think.
I wholly agree that we should allow kids to be kids, right? We shouldn't be like, hey, look, you're 6 years old. It's time for you to learn about the birds and the bees or whatever. And you certainly shouldn't be having sex with children or exposing them to sex or anything like that. But when I say let kids mean kids, I mean exactly that. If your 5-year-old is playing doctor with the neighbor's 5-year-old, turn the other way.
Yeah,
let the kids be kids.
And I think that there are some people that see that as doing harm to that child.
Why? I'm not doing anything to those children.
To not protect them from these experiences.
No, I don't think they need to be protected. I think they need to be educated. And, you know, I think it's especially important for, like, when working with children to teach them the correct name for body parts. I hate all the little, like, silly.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I agree,
pet names, it's weird because we need, this isn't, you know,
see,
like, children
need. You get those examples of kids telling, like, their teachers, my uncle ate my cookie
I
or whatever.
Touch my
exactly.
Wee-wee.
You know, yeah no, so terrible. It's like, use, but children just need to be educated on their body parts, and when the time is right for that particular child about sex, reproduction, you know, how their body works, like, this is just part of raising
there's
children.
There's a really big difference between knowledge in the sense of, like, what you can talk to someone about or, you know, teach them, and experience.
Yeah.
Again, we can remove the conversation of experiencing sex with children from the conversation entirely, because none of us are advocating
that. We're talking about 2 children, right?
Right.
So, like, 2 5-year-olds. So do you think that would scar them for life? Like, if...
Potentially.
If...
I think that the potential of having a permanent detrimental effect on their way of looking at
sexuality. It also has the potential of having positive effects on how they look at sexuality for the rest of their lives.
And the more developed their nervous system is when they have their first... Because that's the thing. Your first sexual experiences are extremely impactful.
You're jumping too far. It can have a negative experience on them for the rest of their life. I'm willing to admit that. It can also have a positive influence on them for the rest of their lives.
I'm willing to admit that.
So why interfere? Why not just leave it at that?
The more developed your nervous system is...
You don't know that.
I do know.
You don't know how you can... You don't know what the chances are of...
I'll tell you what I know.
You don't know what the chances are of a sexual experience being positive or negative for any of these people at any ages whatsoever. You're just speculating.
You're right. However... Since you're going to have to throw the dice at some point, the more developed your nervous system is when you throw those dice, the more you're able to integrate the information. Like we were talking about integrating trauma. The more you can integrate trauma, the less it becomes dysfunctional. And the more you have a developed nervous system, the more capable of integrating a potentially negative sexual experience you're going to be.
It depends on to what extent they're rolling the dice. I don't think the five-year-olds are going to have penetrative...
Yeah,
doubtful.
Right?
You don't think that, huh?
I sincerely don't. But for one, I don't think the five-year-old boy is capable of doing so, as my understanding of analogy works, anatomy works.
You are mistaken.
Okay, whatever. I still don't think it's very likely that they're going to have penetrative sex. I think it's far
more
likely
that
they're going
to protect them from.
It's not my job to protect them from that. If two five-year-olds...
Well, you don't have kids.
If two
so
five-year-olds...
it's not your job to protect a kid from
it's
anything.
Not your job to protect their kids either. It's the parents' job. And if two kids are playing doctor and that's what they do, I'm not going to be watching them anyway. If I see two kids and they start undressing each other to play doctor, I'm not gonna stand there watching it.
So, you know what
that's
I
my
think?
Kid, I'm going to blow the whistle on
I'm
that.
I'm going to turn around and walk away.
As a parent, you can do that, yeah. Right? And I think it's up for parents to decide that. But I think what is more detrimental to kids, and I don't even want to say if it's more or less, but what I know is detrimental to children is when we treat their bodies like they're you know, like, oh, you know, don't do that, don't touch yourself like that, you know, Satan's gonna get you and God is watching, that whole thing makes people like you will carry that on for the rest of your life, and maybe you'll get rid of it, maybe you won't. But it's like, oh, my body is inherently dirty.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to touch myself. I'm not allowed to have sex. If I do, God is watching. I'm, you know, all of these negative things.
That's also detrimental to children, though. So
and a
God
lot of people do that.
And your body is evil are two different things.
But it's part of the same Christian rhetoric.
We don't have to go that far, because I dated this girl once who had a kid, and she would yell at her kid anytime she caught him playing with his rear, you know, fingers and stuff. I don't want to be graphic, but the kid was, and she would yell at him, like, no, you can't do that. That's gross. I was like, the only thing you need to tell this kid is to wash his hands when he's done.
Also, there might be a medical thing, so let's not yell at him if there might be.
It wasn't a medical thing.
Okay.
It was.
Okay.
I
it's very clearly
for,
a sexual thing.
Okay.
I am all for, like, instructing them that this is not what you do in public.
Right,
that
but it wasn't even that.
Yeah.
It was this kid was exploring his body, and she was damaging him. I mean, speaking of damaging kids, like, all she had to do was tell him not wash his hands, but she came at it from that Christian point of view. No. That she never said that's evil, that's sinful, that's the devil stuff, but she had
but
that
it's
background.
Implied, yeah.
And she was like, no, you're not allowed to do that. That's bad. That's whatever. And it's like, that's damaging. Mm-hmm. But
I agree.
This 5-year old or whatever his age was exploring himself in that way is not damaging him at all.
Well, I agree that the background of your body is inherently evil is a very serious problem. And yeah, you don't even have to say it, because it's the foundation of what you do say, or in many cases scream, and that is definitely damaging. I agree completely on that. And I think that there is a middle ground in between these where you are neither yelling at the kid about how sinful and evil and dirty their body is, as if yelling was a real, like, effective way to help kids anyway.
Right.
And at the same time, you're not exposing them to a potentially
Let's not use the
damaging
word expose.
Experience.
Let's not use the word exposing here, because I'm not saying that
failing
one should expose
to protect
it.
Them from a potentially damaging experience.
No, those are two very different things. It's a very different thing for me to expose a kid to pornography and to not protect them from pornography. Exposing them to pornography is, like, exposing. That's presenting it to them in some manner.
Yeah.
Failing to prevent it is just not forbidding them from seeing it. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. These are two fundamentally different things. Exposing someone to something is very different from not preventing them from seeing it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But still, I think there's a middle ground where you are still protecting them, but you're not doing the damage yourself.
And I think we can all agree on that, though, right?
And
I mean,
and
there's,
I guess
there's
I'm just not
be,
sure it's necessary to protect
them. And I get
them.
That there's going to be differences of opinion of
right.
Like, okay, well, I think that you playing doctor with Susie will be a helpful experience to you. And, okay, well, that's your parenting style. And since you are the trustee of this child, now, people think they own their kids, and that's horrible.
It
but
is.
No, kids own themselves. You are being trusted with them. Now, I can see that there are some people that would think that that's a helpful experience, and that's a reasonable perspective that I completely disagree with.
The whole reason that we got into this, though, is, and I want to bring it back real quickly, is to the Libertarian Party and the Conservatarians here in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And in the Conservative Libertarian Party, what I don't really care what they think about drag queens or drag shows or whether or not they're sexualized. I really don't care. My perspective on this is much simpler. You guys need to shut up. The last thing the libertarians in general, the Libertarian Party, Free Staters, they have a huge problem with it being 99.9% just straight cis white dudes.
They seem to like that.
Yes.
Because it seems like they're trying to attract other conservative-minded people.
Yes.
Who are typically white men.
And I hate to inform them of this, but if they want the ideology to grow and to be successful, they need diversity. So I don't care, Libertarian Party of New Hampshire.
I think that's just a function of time, really.
Not if they're out there. Not if they're out there doing everything they can to alienate LGBTQ people.
Okay, 20 years from now.
It's not a function of time because
the Democratic. 20 years from now, the Democrats will be the Libertarians and the Republicans will be the Authoritarians because that's how it always goes. And at that point, we will have no problem with having too many straight white cis men.
No, I disagree entirely because I can't get any of my LGBTQ friends to even tolerate the ideology of the Libertarian Party.
They're on Team Democrat.
No, it's because the Libertarian Party is on freaking Twitter posting about how evil drag shows are.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing everything they can to alienate LGBTQ people. And the straight cis white dudes in the Libertarian Party don't understand why this is a problem.
And they have said other problematic things on Twitter, and that's why I don't like political parties, and I don't care if it's Libertarian, Republican, or Democrat.
Yeah. Well, and one of the issues with the whole drag show thing is that where does it end? Because, okay, the left had a huge victory in legalizing gay marriage. Now, did they stop there? No. They pressed it further. Like, they've pressed it
as
so
they should.
No. Like, at some point, you've made the change you need to make. Like, you don't need to reach the point where 5-year-olds are getting their tits cut off.
But
that's not where you need to go with this.
5-year-olds don't have breasts, first of all, and almost no one is giving sexual reassignment surgery to anyone who's gone through puberty. In fact, the medical consensus is that you can't do it to people who haven't gone through puberty, and you want them to go through puberty. Otherwise, there's literally not enough material there to work with to do the sexual reassignment surgery. So the medical advice is certainly to wait until people are 18. So that's just Fox News talking points that have been blown out of proportion.
That's medical advice right now. But that's the thing. The entire medical establishment is very clearly motivated by politics. So politics are going to change.
The medical industry
is
motivated
by... If the vaccine didn't prove this to you, I don't know what will.
Okay, that's different from the transgenderism thing.
It really isn't.
Okay, well, I disagree.
It is still the medical establishment jumping when the political machine says to jump. So right now, sure, they're being reasonable and saying, don't do this until you have finished your puberty.
Well,
but that's not likely to stay where it is.
But of course the medical establishment is going to jump when bureaucrats say to jump because they're governed by the CDC. You know, they're licensed with the state. It's one and the same.
Right.
They're just other bureaucrats.
That's exactly it. So it becomes politically expedient to do this or to do that, they're still not going to protect us. They're not.
I don't look to them to protect anyone, though.
Then why are you talking about how they are currently advising that you wait until 18 for transition?
Because you're the one who brought it up. You're the one who said, you know, they shouldn't be out there cutting breasts off of five-year-olds. You literally brought it up, and I pointed out to you rightly that they're literally not.
Right, and my point
so
is
you can't
that
ask me why I brought it up when I brought it up to dispute what you said, and then you continued arguing with me instead of acknowledging that I proved what you said wrong.
We are headed in that direction, and there is nothing apparent to stop us from getting to that point.
What direction are we heading toward when I told you that the medical...
Child sex transition.
The medical establishment literally says not to do that.
Okay, well,
they could say anything tomorrow. You're certainly correct. But all of the medical establishment is saying that you can't do this to people who haven't gone through puberty. It's inadvised to do this to people who haven't gone through puberty. And at this point, you're tilting at windmills.
You know what? This just goes back to parenting. And we need to be educating our children. We need to be not traumatizing them, not abusing them. We need to be helping them develop themselves emotionally and psychologically and rationally so they can be able to make these decisions for themselves. Because I think with what you're worried about with the transition of children, it is a root cause of public schooling and bad parenting. Mm-hmm. Because what's happening, and what I've seen some of, is when kids go to public school, they do what's popular, they do what's cool. I've seen a lot of kids become non-binary, trans, or even, you know, whatever, because that's what their friends are doing, and they might not actually be that way. Some of them definitely genuinely are, but I think we need to be able to raise our children to know the difference and to be able to explore their own personality, their own sexuality, and their own identity without being so easily, not manipulated, but, you know, affected by what others are doing. And I think it's almost impossible to do that when your kids are in public school and when you're not raising them, when the teachers are raising them, when they're being more affected by their classmates than they are their own family.
And I do think that's a part of what freaks these parents out so much, is they don't trust themselves to go against the grain enough to say, no, drag shows are not for my kids.
Well,
they're like, well, eventually it'll be so normalized that I will feel social pressure and I am weak, so I will fall.
Those people shouldn't have kids then, and if drag shows make you uncomfortable and you don't want your kids to see them, then don't, you know? Like, I don't think...
No, that's most people.
You know?
Most people don't have the strength to go against the grain for what they believe.
Well...
And what you said, I got to agree with Nikki on this one. They just shouldn't... If you're not willing to stand up for what you believe...
Well,
then,
there goes the species.
Yeah, you shouldn't raise kids.
Well, there it goes.
Well,
if only.
The government will be happy to raise them for you.
Well, they shouldn't have them in the first place, I would argue. We're out of time for the night, though. You can continue arguing with us in the meantime over on our chat server at chat.freetalklive.com. You can hang out with us there. Again, that's chat.freetalklive.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.